How to Be Happy Podcast, episode number 3, jaredakers.com. Welcome to the How to Be Happy Podcast with Jared and Emily Akers, where we talk about life, love, happiness, respect for yourself and your partners in life. So open your hearts and your minds and get ready to be honest, be loved, and be happy. Welcome, 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 everybody, to the How to Be Happy Podcast with Jared and Emily Akers. This is episode number 3. I'm Jared Akers.
And I'm Emily Akers. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome. So this is our third episode. Hopefully we're getting a little bit better at this. I don't know. But what is our topic today? Oh, it's going to be nurturing relationships.
Yeah, I have a shout out to the ladies at the Starbucks in Summit Fair, Lee Summit. Got a great idea for a topic tonight. I spoke with a woman there who was kind of wondering, what do you do for your husband to kind of show him that you love him? What are some good techniques to keep the love alive,
to keep
that furnace burning?
Yeah.
And I said, I think that's a great subject for tonight's podcast.
Yeah, we actually had some other things in mind, and then she actually texted me and said, yeah, like keeping the love alive, or so kind of made it more of a broader kind of topic about nurturing relationships. So we're going to talk a lot about that. So, well, let's talk about that first, you know, keeping the love alive, if you will. And then you said something about, well, I don't know maybe if it's so much about keeping it alive, but
I think it's just feeding it.
Yeah.
You know, keeping it exciting and expressing your love in different ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think
it's important.
This is a good time, I guess, we could talk about, you know, we talk about the intimacy thing and how early on in a relationship, you know, that physical intimacy is, I don't know, it's one of the few ways maybe early on that you can really feel like you're showing someone that you care. Or, I mean, because the reason why I bring that up is because mm-hmm. the topic comes up a lot about, you know, how over the years the intimacy or the physical, you know, I don't know how I'm trying to say.
When you're saying intimacy, it's like, okay, what you mean? Just like
sex.
Yeah. Yeah. In the beginning, it's you're after each other all the time.
Yeah.
You've got that chemistry going. It's, oh yeah, let's, you know, show each other how we feel.
Yeah, and because, you know, and then over the years, some, you know, we...
It's easier to be physical than emotional.
Early?
Yeah, I think so. I think the physical is a great way to express, hey, I'm really digging you.
Yeah.
You know, I think you're hot. I think you're, you know, I want to, like, lay all over you.
Yeah,
I want you to lay all over
bones.
Me.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah. And so, but we still dig each other, but, you know, we're still intimate in that way, but, you know, not as much as we were early on, of course. But,
well, I mean, then you just kind of, at least in our case, we show each other that we love each other every day.
Yeah.
And it's known now.
Yeah.
I think in the beginning you don't know,
so that's the way you show it, you know.
It's kind of the way to get to know each other,
you
maybe.
Know, we can kiss each other goodnight and talk a little bit, but before, man, if we kissed,
yeah, game on.
It was on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, you know, yeah, that initial, I guess you would call it infatuation.
Yeah, well, and I think now it's a little bit more, not a process. I don't want to make it seem, you know,
clinical.
Yeah. Right, but, you know, it's kind of like we talk about it and we'll start flirting a little bit through the day and,
yeah,
you know, and kind of, you know, without expectations, of course, but we know each other well enough now where it's like, hey, you know what? I'm feeling it. Let's.
Someone once said something really wise and it bears repeating, and that's that making love begins in the morning.
Yeah.
It begins with an idea.
Taking out the trash.
And it's something that you nurture throughout the day with little things that you do and say to each other.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of feed the mind and then the body will follow.
Well, and I think there is a certain validity to the concept too of, or the idea or theory that, you know, you do keep some of that intimate connection and emotional connection also when you're physical,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you can start to kind of grow apart a little bit. And when you get back together and have relations, if you would, you know, it kind of solidifies that a little bit and makes it, you know, it's more of a connection that way.
Right.
You know, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. Makes sense to me.
Yeah. Well, and keeping up, keeping the love alive in relationships. So you were talking about getting back to the conversation you were having at the coffee shop.
Yeah, she was saying that my husband buys me flowers and he, you know, leaves notes for me. Or I'm not really sure what things she actually said. She said, what are good things to do for men? And what I told her that what's neat about this show is you get the female and the male perspective.
Right.
So you being the man.
Whether you want it or not.
What would you like for me to do that would show you, you know, or just, well, you know, how would you?
Okay, I'll share a story with you.
Okay.
And it was one, it was in a relationship that I was in years ago. And this is a little thing. And you do this for me sometimes. But we were dating this girl and we were going, I was getting ready to go play a softball game. And or I was playing in the softball league, and I'd had this jersey that was like one of my favorite jerseys that I'd wear to play softball, but there was a button missing on it, but I always just wore it that way. And one day when she came to the ball field, she was bringing my clothes or whatever, my uniform, and she had sewn a button onto the uniform. Now that was kind of like, I just remember specifically the feeling that it felt good that at some point during the day or whenever it was that I was not there physically, but she was out doing something with me in mind and thinking about me. So
yeah,
that made me feel really well. And you do that actually all the time. I mean, you'll buy things, or, you know, when you're out and you see things that you think I'll like, or, you know, so that's kind of something, you know, but I'm kind of a hopeless romantic too. So I kind of think about those things a lot, but.
Right. I think you, one of the things that I mentioned to her was you could put something in his lunch, although he doesn't take his lunch, but you could send a snack, maybe put it in his pocket of his coat.
Yeah.
Or, so, you know, so he would just reach in and there it is, you know, oh my gosh, he was thinking about me.
Yeah, something that only he will find though, because right. I don't think a lot of men would like you to like show up with flowers at his workplace or something.
No. It needs to be something a little more private. And
right.
Maybe a note on his pillow, or you could write something on the mirror when he's brushing his teeth, he'll see it. Or
how about
you could fold his, you know, washcloth really special in the shower, or, you know, put the little corners on the toilet paper when he pulls it down, just little things like that that you'd have done for you if you're in a 5-star hotel, you know, something. Yeah. A mint under your pillow. Or,
well, as a guy too though, I really like it when, like, say there's a football game on or something, and you do a good job of making me feel like it's okay to enjoy myself and relax and not feel, because, you know, I mean, I have still some of those insecure feelings, or those security things where I want to make sure that everything's okay with us. And, you know, and so if I'm doing something like that, I feel like I should come check in, or, you know, and I know that's my own baggage, you know, but you do a good job of saying, hey, you know what, you deserve to take it easy and relax. And that means a lot.
Yeah. We don't always have to agree on everything we watch or do. And if there's something that you want to do that I'm not interested in, I can find something else to do. And I know that that's fine. You're not going to be upset with me that I'm not like sitting with you all the time. Or
Yeah,
it's nice to be able to kind of go away from each other, do our own thing, check in from time to time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just telling you I'm thinking about you as I'm walking through the room, or, you know, it's nice. Nice little things like that.
I have now for her, I have down here, you know, what's some romantic things to do for her. You know, I send, you know, the typical things.
I had a romantic thing happen last week.
You did?
Yeah, extremely romantic.
Was I involved?
You were.
Okay.
Yeah, I got flowers at
work. Oh, okay, right. Well,
the card said, because it's Monday. And actually, it wasn't just flowers. It was an orchid, which is like my favorite thing in the whole world.
Yeah.
My favorite plant in the whole world. And it was kind of ironic because that Friday before, I had killed one of the orchids I had at work. I had a set. So in comes this orchid, like you read my mind. I never even told you that I killed the orchid.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that.
And here I have now two orchids, nice and, you know, floral.
Well, you used to have a bad track record with orchids. You loved them so much, but you just couldn't quite keep them. So
it's a challenge.
Yeah, my previous job, we had orchids in the lobby of the office building, and they would come in like once every 3 months and replace them all. And they couldn't give them to you, but they would leave them out by the dumpster. So I would bring home like boxes and boxes of orchids. And so she got pretty good at, you know, there was no pressure. So you could just kind of try different things. And,
right.
Yeah.
I figured it out.
Yeah.
I'm having a lot more success these days. You have to be patient with orchids. It's kind of like a relationship, really. Yeah. You know, you have to figure out the love language, you know. You figure out your love language in your relationship. You also have to figure out the love language of the orchid.
Right.
And each species has a different language, as do people. You know, are you a gift person? Are you a word person? Are you, you know, a food person?
Each species.
How do you feel love?
Each species of...
orchid. Like each one has different care that you have to use.
Besides
some
just
like
what's
high
on the
light,
little...
some like low light, you know, some require different temperatures. It just depends on the species of orchid.
Besides what's just on that little piece of cardboard that comes with it.
Exactly.
Well, you tried the ice cube.
Yeah.
Ice cube once a week in the pot.
That's so you don't overwater. But yeah. I didn't have a lot of luck with that.
I think it's more of a temperature thing.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some orchid growing.
Well, you have to have the right light. You
specialists
have to right, you have
out
to,
there.
And then I also discovered that you need to take orchids down into the basement when they're not flowering.
When they're naughty.
Yeah, when they're naughty. Mm-hmm. When they're no longer producing the flowers, they got to go to timeout.
Yeah.
They got to be cold for a while to make them flower again. I never knew that. Mm-hmm. So...
that is interesting. So,
You got to find out what your guy digs or what your girl digs.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you may be thinking that you're showing them that you love them, and they're not getting the message.
Well, a lot of it is just paying attention.
Yeah,
you know,
it really is.
Yeah.
You know, being kind. You know, kindness goes a long way in a relationship.
I used to be better at that, and I get more in tune to that around about 4 months prior to Christmas. You know, I'll start trying to pay a little bit more attention when we're out shopping and you see something and
awesome about that.
You make a comment, you know, and so I'll snap a picture with my phone.
Yeah,
so
I told a client after this Christmas, I have to be careful what I say because you will buy everything that I say I want. As in this last Christmas, which was really nice.
Well, I don't feel so bad when I spend money on myself that way, so.
Ah, method to your madness.
Yeah.
Well, it works for me, babe.
No, I like being able to
whatever the reason, I don't have any expectation for the reason. I can accept your gifts without an explanation.
Yeah. Well, Christmas this year was killing me having to wait because.
Oh, I bet.
I bought her an iPad.
Yeah, I got the iPad too, which my father had actually bought on my suggestion for much a different reason. He's still on AOL. And he was having trouble with iTunes and his iPhone. And
I didn't know AOL was still
know,
out there.
I know. It's pretty antiquated.
That used to be the only game in town.
I tried to help him, and after several hours of not having any success, I turned and looked at him. I said, "You need to get an iPad."
Yeah.
And he was not too sure about that because he's not really an Apple guy. I go, "Dad, you have the iPhone. You know, that's Apple.
It's only a matter of time.
You got to have all Apple."
Yeah.
If you have...
I'm very anti-Mac. I'm a PC man, but
yeah, I'm an Apple lady.
We
can have differences and still be in love with each other and respect each other.
Because now when she says, you know, I don't know how to make this work, and I'm like, well, it's a Mac.
I don't either.
Yeah,
I know, but I like to figure things out, so yeah. I'm cool.
That's cool.
I'm cool with it.
I have down here date night, you know. Well,
making time. If you have children or you have, you know, jobs where you travel, you don't have a whole lot of time together. You just definitely got to schedule time when it's just you. No phones, no computers, no kids crying.
Yeah.
Just, you know, being.
And take that, not take that
a couple
time for granted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's important to do often.
So what else do you like? As a woman.
What do I like you do it all. I mean, I find notes constantly. Oh, I really do.
Something else, really.
Yeah. For my birthday, I got the most incredible, I never would have thought of it, and I loved it so much. I came to bed, I think it was my birthday night.
Yeah.
I came to bed, and I looked up, and there on the wall, I wish I had a camera I would show you.
Well, it's audio. They won't be able to see it anyway.
I know.
Oh.
Well, maybe we'll have a video someday where I can show you my sticker, but it says, "Always kiss me goodnight above our bed now." It was so romantic and so sweet and so perfect. And not only did you think of buying that and how romantic is that, but you put it up.
Yeah, that
and,
was a
you
struggle.
Know, it was like, and it's perfect. It's in the perfect location, absolutely perfect. And it really, 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 you know, just made me feel that feeling like
that's like I did
the first day I met you. You know, it's like that excitement, giddy feeling that.
Yeah,
when you're falling in love and you feel like you're walking 3 feet above the ground and people cut in front of you in traffic, you just say, go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, be my guest. You can be in front.
Well, and it all comes back, you know, again, to communication as far as,
right.
you know, communicating what you need and what you want and what makes you happy and trying to accommodate those things.
Right.
You know, and just showing appreciation.
You know, if you see another example, you know, I know, you know, I'll see something that you meant to do that you didn't get around to doing, and I'll do it for you. You know, I don't get angry. Gosh, he didn't do that. He said he was going to do it. You know, I see it as an opportunity to do something for you that you didn't have time or forgot or whatever. So I don't take, you know, I don't feel frustrated anymore when things aren't done. Because we're constantly in communication with each other and there's no resenting each other. It's just all good.
What about spontaneity?
You need to be able to just, whatever your plans are for the day, you know, as long as it doesn't involve work and commitment to someone else. You know, if you say, for example, you have a Saturday and I've already, you know, I've already got it figured out what I'm going to do all day, and you just pop up and say, why don't we go to the park, you know, and fly a kite or, you know, take a walk,
go rollerblading.
Well, fly a kite, whatever.
Go walk off, take a long walk off a short pier.
Yeah.
As my mom would say.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, you know.
But just be willing to drop what you're doing.
Well,
and
that depends too on the person, I think, because if you have a plan, a lot of times I'm kind of in a mindset, and that comes back to the expectation.
Well, then you discuss, how important was this in your, you know, I usually ask you, so what are your plans for the day?
Give me a little bit of time.
What did you want to get done? What did you want to accomplish?
To mull it over and throw it out there. And well, we're going to have, I'm sure, several podcasts or episodes on traveling. Spontaneity and traveling is something that we try to do a lot, because I used to be really bad about the plan master, the taskmaster.
Yeah, the first trip. You remember that first trip?
I would plan everything, when we were going to dive, when we were going to, you know, go do the sights and all that stuff. And now,
before we even took off,
right,
you had it all planned down to the every detail.
And you're constrained to time then, and that kind of is defeating the purpose.
Well, your life is struggle. You know, your life is not struggled. Your life is scheduled.
Right.
You know, or mine is.
And that kind of defeated the, because then some of those things didn't work out and happen. And I just actually wrote a post just recently, which I don't think it's live yet, on goodlifezen.com. And I talked about that expectations is, you know, one of the tips of, you know, living happy or whatever. And then I used that, like when we went to Belize last time, I had this expectation of being on the second floor of the condo, because I got this condo right on the beach and all the reviews on TripAdvisor were really good. But the only downside was they said if you were on the ground floor, you're right there on the beach and a lot of locals are walking by, and security, you know, might be an issue. But we got there. And so like the first 30 minutes or 45 minutes, I was like really consumed with this. Oh, man, this isn't what I expected, blah, blah, blah. And you did a really good job of reminding me that, hey, these expectations are kind of robbing you of this moment. And just kind of, I mean, you said it in a loving way. And I had a chance to kind of think about that and recenter myself. But then it ended up being the best
thing
because we
had a balcony. Well, we had a patio where the people above us, if we were up on the next floor, we wouldn't have had
But we got to interact with the locals and we got invited to do things that we would have never had the opportunity, you know, if we were secluded up.
I loved it.
Yeah, so it ended up being perfect, you know, so.
Except for when I broke the door. Oh. Yeah. I don't think I broke it. I think it was already broken. I just re-broke it.
Yeah.
And I'm like standing there with the glass in my hands and the metal, whatever, around the glass,
casing. Yeah,
the casing.
It was a glass sliding door.
Completely separated from this creepy piece of glass. And I'm like, what am I going to do?
But they were good. They came and fixed it.
I didn't move it that hard, so it must have been that way. But they were really gracious and came and fixed it right away. And It was a great place. It was a great time. I think that's a really important thing to bring up. You know, the spontaneity, you know, on vacation, but just in life, being willing to just kind of go with the flow.
Yeah, wear life like a loose garment.
Yeah, and decide, you know, how big a deal really is it that you go and whatever, I was going to go buy a loaf of bread today or if, whatever it was. You know, if that doesn't happen, it's really not that big a deal.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to go do something else and that sounds like fun, that's what we'll do.
Well, and on our first trip to St. Croix, I had the expectation I was going to save money, right? So I got this local car rental place or car rental from, you know, I'm trying to support the local economy and I didn't get one of the big names, you know, so I got this local car rental and we had to take this taxi, like, it was a long ways from the airport and we got there and we had rented a Jeep and of course they didn't have a Jeep and there was only one guy working and it was a horrible,
nothing went right for him that day, poor guy.
And people were coming in angry, yelling at him. And I was getting all frustrated because we were supposed to be at the resort to do our checkout dives, you know, to check in for, we were just getting certified.
For our schedule. We were late for our schedule.
Right. And we went outside and we just kind of stood there and she kind of helped me realize that we're on vacation, you know, we can either be a part of the problem here and part of the solution. And so we kind of went back in and just
told the guy to take his time, take a deep breath. Yeah, we're just going to sit over here.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. You know, we know everything's going to work out. We're on vacation.
And we ended up getting the Jeep.
We probably got a better Jeep.
Yeah.
We got the Jeep with ants in the air conditioning unit.
Oh my gosh. We can tell that. Okay.
Yeah, but that was later. Really, they didn't rent it to us that way, I don't think. Unless they hatched. I don't know. But
it was like the second to last day there, and we go out to get in the Jeep, right? And we left some soda pop or something.
I had like 2 inches of a drink left. It was like a sugary, you know, virgin pina colada, I think, and there was just a little bit in the bottom, and I forgot to grab it when I went inside.
And so we left the top
next
down or
morning.
Something?
No, it was all closed up, but we're in a Jeep. You know, they're pretty.
Yeah, so I.
It's pretty easy for those little ants to get in the Jeep. They want.
And I crank the Jeep on full blast.
Turn the air conditioner on
full blast. And all this stuff has come flying out of the vents.
He's like,
and I thought it was sand. It really looked
sputtering
like sand.
And, you know, I'm thinking, all over him. And he's like wiping his clothes. And I'm looking down at myself and there's nothing on me. Not a thing. I'm spotless.
Yeah.
And then I look again and there's
ants
crawling all over him. Head to toe.
Covered in ants. And I got out running, freaking yelling.
I think that's, you know, the ants are reserved for the schedulers.
Yeah, right. So that was like, yeah, I don't like bugs.
So
you know?
it was pretty hysterical.
And it was straight out of a horror film. But they didn't buy it.
I never got a single ant on me that whole day.
Anyway.
That's funny.
So I have down here, too, alone time. Like, you know, a lot of people, like you call some women or men, even stage 5 Klingons or something like that. That's a security.
It's an insecurity,
right?
You know, when you have to have someone with you all the time, and you know, I like doing things on my own. I like having my time, and we're good at that.
Yeah.
You know, you do your work in the basement or wherever you are, and
with the orchids.
I'll kind of get an idea of what you had in mind. Are you gonna? Do you want to do this for several hours? Are you 15 minutes?
Yeah.
And one nice thing I'd like to mention that you do,
what?
That I know you love me, is when I'm getting ready, you're always ready before me, and you'll go downstairs, and you've never rushed me. Never.
Really?
Uh-uh. You wait until I'm ready to go, and you just get busy with whatever it is that you're doing. And I've never felt like I had to rush to go anywhere.
Well, you can't rush beauty, right?
I love that guy. I'm so happy for that country and western song that taught you that. So
what?
I think it was, who is that? Oh,
is it Brad Paisley?
Yeah, Brad Paisley. Well, sang it best.
I'll wait for you, or what is that song?
It's something about a woman getting ready.
Oh,
and
yeah. Waiting on a Woman.
Yeah.
That's the song.
Waiting on a Woman.
Yeah.
Excellent song.
Yeah. Well, be honest with you completely, it's probably a little bit of a selfish thing, too, because I'm thinking, wow, she's still getting ready. I can go down and
check
my stats on my websites or whatever.
That's nice, though. Yeah. You're using your time wisely rather than sitting there upset with me because I'm taking a long time.
Okay, well, see, then it is for you.
Right. It's, you know, you're not trying to control me. You're using that time It's like you feel like I'm doing you a favor by taking a long time to get ready. Yeah. Maybe I am.
Could be.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
So in one of
You're
the
welcome.
Well, thank you. In one of the past one of my previous relationships, it was often mentioned that I didn't have friends or I didn't do a lot of things on my own. But then when I would go do things, you know, with friends or something like that, I don't know, I felt like she resented me for it or something like that. And I know that was my own issues, I'm sure, still. But I always remember thinking, God, she needs a hobby, you know? So, but I mean, there were so many things that was wrong with myself at that time too. So it's hard to know. I mentioned that because I had down here, you know, like having hobbies and
yeah,
and
independence is attractive.
Okay, so that's
and
what
someone
I was
else. Independence is, yeah. You know, it's being secure with who you are and having your own life. You can come together and share what it is that you've experienced away from each other.
Yeah,
that's what keeps the relationship fresh and alive. Well, if you do every single thing together, you know everything that happened. There's nothing really to discuss unless you want to discuss how you felt about how that went.
Yeah.
But
which we do still, but
that's true.
Well, again, you know, that's back to looking for someone else to make you happy, and that's
right.
Just not going to work. I mean, it will maybe for a little bit, but eventually you're going to put unreasonable demands on them and yourself, and it's not going to work.
Yeah.
But,
self-image.
Okay. I also have down here friends, because something that I wanted to get into was, you know, like having a circle of friends. And we talk about this a lot. How much do you invest in, and, you know, sticking with the topic of nurturing relationships, you know, how much investment do you put into, like, even a relationship that's not really that positive? Or, you know, I like to hang around people that inspire me,
right.
You know, and I know that, you know, there's a balance there between being the shoulder for someone to cry on to, you know, being someone's crutch or.
Well, I'm not really sure what you're asking.
Well, do you cut friends off? You know, do you detach with love or do you nurture that relationship?
I think that it kind of happens naturally because I believe that people attract that which they are.
Yeah.
And if you maintain a positive attitude, regardless of what people say, you know, you always, I'm very positive, upbeat kind of person. And for every negative, I'll think of a positive. That's just the way I think. It's the way my brain works. So I think people who love misery, you know, and want to be the victim get pretty sick of that, you know, and they just kind of quit calling. But, you know, if they don't quit calling and it continues.
You mean they get sick of you being so positive?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, you know, misery loves company.
Yeah.
Misery, you know, when you're complaining, they want you to get involved. Yeah.
Their victim and state or whatever.
So I think that's just kind of naturally the progression of a relationship. If you know, someone's struggling, they'll generally, you know, unless I feed it, and I try not to.
Well, and there's the other side of that that we've talked about before that you've mentioned specifically is if you want a good, deep friendship with someone, you have to put in the effort.
Right. You can't be upset that, well, if they're not calling you, then call them. I mean, if you're aware that you haven't spoken in a while, just call them.
Right.
There's no rule book that says how often you got to call somebody.
Yeah.
You know, just I'm happy to hear from people no matter when they call, if I haven't heard from them for years. You know, it's just how you look at things. You're either going to have a half empty or half full glass.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that is certainly difficult when it comes to family too, as far as relationships with family members that are always, I don't know, seem to be very needy or.
Yeah. Yeah. That can, I really have a pretty good family. I mean.
Yeah, I do too. I know a lot of people, family, pretty independent, pretty
emotionally well, you know, where I would not say that I have any problems with my family that way. I do hear about a lot of problems from others with family members that are needy.
Yeah, I get.
But I think the codependent behavior, when I gave up on codependent behavior in relationships, I think it just kind of went away with family members as well.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not looking for trouble anymore.
Well, I had someone email me recently, you know, kind of a situation where they had moved away from where they're family was, and they had their own family now, and, you know, wife and kids, and they were happy, but they also, there was some periods of times where they felt like family was meant, you know, everything, and that's all you really have. And so they felt sad that they were away from their family. But then they would go home and they would spend time with their family. But then after a couple of days, they were like, okay, I got to get out of here.
Driving them crazy.
You know, so it's like, yeah. But people, you know, and I'm not trying to downplay the importance of family whatsoever, because I do agree that it's very important. But I also think that, you know, sometimes you put so much emphasis on family, but if no matter, regardless of who they are, I think if they're a negative influence on you, yeah. you have the right to surround yourself with people that make yeah. inspire you and make you happy.
I mean, it's one thing for someone to have a problem and you're there to, you know, listen and kind of be the sounding board, if you will. And an entirely different thing when it's always something.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I had a situation years ago with a family member who I wouldn't even answer the phone because yeah. I knew it was them calling, and you know, I knew it was going to be uncomfortable.
Right.
So that's probably not the healthiest way, but it was easier to just ignore it than, you know, to say something mean, you know, or hurtful. I think either way, I mean, it was, you know.
Well, a perfect example, I think, of the kind of the detachment thing was when I was going through my thing, you know, in March of 2006, and I was at my bottom and going through that whole ordeal and very depressed, you can read about it in my book that's coming out in a couple of months, but it was, you know, I was at a point where, you know, friends and family had come to see me and they were concerned about me, and basically I was secluded and I was at a place where life wasn't really... I had to make a decision, let's put it that way, to whether to embrace life or give up, you mm-hmm. know, to put it bluntly. And my sister had told me, she said, I don't feel sorry for you and I'm not going to come and save you. But if you choose life, I'll be there. And that was what she said. And because, you know, I'd been through this before, and I think at some point people have to realize themselves that I'm the one that has to get myself out of this, or maybe not that, because there's certain situations where you can't, because I couldn't really get myself out of that situation because I was incapable of fixing myself. You know, you can't fix a broken mind with a broken mind, but I had to get to a point where the whole enabling thing was not there anymore. And I had to make a choice that regardless of what anyone else did for me, I was going to take charge and find what I needed to survive and be happy. And that's kind of how this whole thing started. But, you know, and my sister and my family, you know, my mom kind of was the same way. She just prayed for me and, you know, and she knew that, you know, everyone had kind of done everything they could for me. And, you know, and so it's kind of like that. I don't know if you call it tough love.
Well,
but
she
it's just,
probably detached with love because she recognized that being codependent with your situation was affecting
her right.
peace of mind, you know.
Yeah, and had they
loving from
you know,
afar.
Well,
just let you know I love you, but I'm not going to be part of this problem.
Yeah, and that's,
I'll help you if you want me to be part of the solution.
And that helped me get to where I needed to get to.
Yeah,
you know, and I think maybe with friends and family like that, you know,
I think it's okay to say I love you, but I'm not gonna promote this, you know, drama that you find yourself perpetuating.
Yeah, I can't think of her name. She wrote I'll put it in the show notes. She wrote an article in the O magazine and was talking about, you know, love more by caring less. And we talked about that where I don't care what happens to you. I love you. But I don't care what happens to you. Meaning, you know, whatever happens to you, whether, you know, you bring on this yourself or you get hurt or you know, I don't care, but I love you and I will love you no matter what, because caring kind of sometimes attaches a condition to it, you know, and, you know, if I care That's what happens to you, then I'm emotionally attached to the outcome of your situation. Mm-hmm. Whereas instead of just loving you unconditionally, I'm going to love you no matter what happens, you know, in your life.
That's a neat way to put it.
Yeah. So I'll put a link to that. There's an article. I found it online cause I've referenced it several times, but, I'll put that in the show notes so you can check that out. It's a really good article on how to dealing with family members and how to, you know, not expect someone else to change for you to be happy. And a lot of the stuff that we talk about. So that is, I think pretty much it. Is there anything else that you can think of?
I think we've pretty much touched on everything I was thinking about talking about tonight.
And so. Nurturing relationships. I mean, yeah. You know, people say it takes work, you know, to keep a relationship going. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, that sounds hard. And I don't think it has to be that hard if it's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certainly I've been in relationships in the past where it was work. And, you know, if it's work, then...
It's not the right.
I don't know. I'm not trying to downplay the importance of working in a relationship, but you have to want it to work out.
Yeah.
You know, to begin with, and I also want to make sure that everyone knows that we do have a phone line that you can call in, the How to Be Happy podcast phone line. The number,
send in questions.
It is 775-234-8373. That's 775-234-8373. You can call on that and leave a question, and there's a recording. Just leave your name and where you're from and a question, and
we'll play it
or a topic, and we might use that and play it on the podcast and talk about it. So that's it. Thank you, everyone, and God bless, and be honest, be loved, and be happy.
Have a great weekend.